Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at and that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality and not illusion or delusion that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Dr. Dino Prato of the Infita Clinic in Scottsdale, Arizona. We're going to be talking about the alternative, or let's more perhaps more imaginative treatment of so many of the diseases that are out there. You know, when I went through medical school, we never heard of chronic fatigue. We never heard of fibromyalgia. We never heard of Lyme disease. Certainly the incidence of cancer was not that high. But in the intervening years, we've had all sorts of development of new diseases. We've had an explosion of cancer. The incidence of cancer certainly has increased dramatically since we started our war on cancer, to the point where it's estimated that one out of every two men, one out of every three women will have a cancer sometime during their lives. And so what should we be doing? Why is this happening? But even more than that, what can we do with the people who are plagued with these chronic either diseases or autoimmune diseases that are so disabling? And this is why there is a definite place for alternative approaches that work. Dr. Prato, thank you very much for being with us this evening.
Thank you for having me.
Why don't you just get into the background of what the Infita Clinic is and how your approach is different than the conventional approach to these chronic disabling diseases?
Well, the Infita Clinic is a center that is in the United States and also abroad. We have a clinic in Scottsdale, Arizona, and one in our international center in Puerto Penasco, Mexico, or Rocky Point. And we provide treatments from all over the world, and we use conventional and advanced natural medicine to help people. And the way that we do it that's extremely different, really, than any other clinic, and especially the conventional clinic, is we use a highly form of what we call personalized medicine, where we individualize treatment on each person. It's not just protocols, when people are not numbers. Each case is broken down into incredible detail. We run elaborate tests. Our doctors do a great job of testing patients in detail. And when people realize personalization, let me give you an example in a couple of situations so you can better understand it. For instance, in cancer, everybody worries about, well, I have colon or breast or prostate, and I'm in stage, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, whatever the stage of the cancer might be and where it spread to. And then the protocols are sometimes built based on that. With us, the protocol is built on the genetic information, the detail of the tumor itself, the biopsy information that we get from the hospital. Then we look at the individual genetics, which drugs might work, drugs of choice. We use selective measures in treating. We can get into that in a little bit. We also do selective immunotherapy to help reestablish the immune system. Then we try to remove the causes of that. And we do the same things with infectious diseases and chemical toxins that bring across chronic fatigue and fibromyalgia. So it's a more in-depth approach to the patient. And, of course, when you do that, you're going to always have not only a better outcome, but a better plan.
And, of course, the thing is that a lot of people develop these chronic infectious conditions because their immune system isn't working. It isn't working because, of course, they've been poisoned with heavy metals. I mean, there's only aluminum, lead, mercury. We are simply surrounded with these heavy metals. We're surrounded by pesticides and insecticides. There are so many things in our diet that are deleterious to our health. And if you don't look at those, why, of course, you're going to miss totally. I mean, you're not simply somebody with a disease. But why do you have that disease? And if you're not testing for all the poisons that we live with, why, you will never be able to cure the disease. Dr. Prato, go right ahead.
Well, I think the key is, you know, we need to find what, number one, is causing the disease. This is something that I think pharmaceutical companies...
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Whether you want more energy to keep up with everyday life or simply the great feeling that comes from better health, you won't get there without serious, proven nutritional support. I'd like to suggest that you try Propax NT. Propax contains a powerful group of nutrients called the NT factor, specifically designed and clinically validated to enhance cellular energy. Clinical trials have demonstrated that Propax improved participants' energy levels. They felt better, too. Why don't you go to the website for complete information? It's simply propax.com. That's P-R-O-P-A-X.com. Or you can call 800-982-9158. Propax.com or 800-982-9158. Find out about Propax today.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances? Even things which can cause sickness or disease. If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verky water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verky water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
And so often, why, because patients haven't been tested for a heavy metal poisoning. They haven't been tested, certainly, for many functions that need to be evaluated, because you've got to deal not with the disease. You've got to deal with the whole patient and why this patient has a disease. Pick the story up from there.
So, you know, we begin with the team of doctors begin with testing. And a lot of times when we test for infectious diseases, we first look for immune system function. And many patients have such a weakened immune system that they don't even respond positive to some of the infectious tests, like PCR, which looks for the DNA of infectious agents in the body. Some of these infections are intracellular. And the body hasn't even had the ability to have an antigen response because it's so weakened in its immunity. So we will challenge the immune system, strengthen it, and then retest, and then all of a sudden you start to see all these infections or the immune system responding, and you can see that these patients, we're dealing with these. And then in addition to that, there's a nutritional intake to look at all the deficiencies the patient has, the allergen exposure, toxic exposure, heavy metal. The heavy metal challenges we do are not just a hair analysis because that's really not in-depth enough. We do an intravenous chelation challenge with a 24-hour urine collection. We look for mercury, aluminum, lead, on. And then those tests are all done. So all of this and more is run. And then from that information, the doctor is able to see you don't just have lupus or you just don't have scleroderma or you just don't have chronic fatigue syndrome. What you have is a heavy metal mercury toxicity. You have an HHV6 highly replicating virus. You have also particularly maybe borrelia or Lyme disease. And in addition to that, You may have also a nutritional deficiency of vitamin D, per se. So it gives you an idea that that's much more complete. And then from there, a plan is built, a treatment plan is built to help the patient treat each one of those factors and return them to health. And as you do that, guess what happens? The symptoms start to go away, the lab tests start to normalize, and most importantly, the patient returns to a much better quality of health. So this is really how you do it. And in fact, this is the way conventional medicine, this really shouldn't be anything alternative. This should be just what I call real medicine, because patients ought to get the best care they need to get well. But a lot of times, nobody's going this deep because there really isn't always medication you can use. Sometimes you have to use alternative treatments like oxidative therapies such as ozone treatments or high-dose vitamin C need to be there, hydrogen peroxide or other immune modulators need to be combined. Sometimes antibiotics intravenously need to be used. Nutrition needs to be given. So you really have more tools on your belt. And I think that people have to realize that centers, particularly like Invita, are really not just convention or alternative. I think the way I look at it is we're actually much more personalized and more detailed on both ends of that. So it's really just a better system of medicine because it's really helping the patient answer the question to why they're sick, which is really, really important. And a lot of the patients are extremely relieved once they find out that there's a cause to their illness, that it's just not some random thing they're going to be stuck with for the rest of their life.
Well, now, how often do you find the patients will have toxic levels of, say, a mercury or aluminum?
Very common. And and I don't have to go into this, but we see the chemtrail. We see all the stuff being poured out into the food supply. The metals in the mouth, the mercury, the gases leak out. You know, the patients you would see a good number of patients have heavy metal toxicity when you do a proper challenge. And the sad thing is most of the time the patients have a knowledge that something's not right. They know that there's some form of toxicity, but their physician hasn't bothered running any of these tests. They don't really quite care about that because, to be honest, they may not even know what to do if somebody came back with a heavy metal toxicity besides lead, you know? They wouldn't know how to properly chelate or restore because they're not trained in that area. And you can't do that with a 15-minute office appointment, if that makes any sense. So that's very common. And then people not only have heavy metal toxicities, but like I said numerous times, they have a number of infections, maybe 4, 5, 6 combining infections that work together. They're in like biofilm communities, and these infections can send information to each other, help increase replication. For instance, HHV6, which is a virus that lives inside the cells, it can cause cancers and a number of things and tremendous fatigue in patients. MS, it can be involved in a number of different areas. This virus we pick up probably when we're children, you know, in a daycare center, the kid will get HHV6. But you do not turn on the replication of this virus unless you have other infections and a weakening of the immune system, and then you can turn on its replication at any given time. So what I'm saying is that people have infections. When their immune system is in check, they are able to hold that infection without it bothering them. But then, for example, they pick up Lyme disease, that Lyme disease replicates and it turns on the HHV6 indirectly, since it can communicate through MYC RNA and turn on replication. So now you have infections that are working like tag team on the body. So it's much more complex, much more complex than looking at one infection. It's the way that they're all working, and they have biofilm communities which protect them. They're intracellular, so even if you want to give a medicine, if you're not using the proper shuttling agents, you're not able to get the medicine inside the cells to actually kill the infection. And at the same time, you have to be building the immune system while you're doing this. So it's something that we have a great team of doctors. Our physicians are Lyme literate doctors. They're LLMDs, and they're one of the best, I think, in the country. And the protocols we're using are far superior to anybody we know in our industry, where patients are under care for a year or two. We're seeing a tremendous improvement in quality of life in 8 to 12 weeks with our patients, which has been unheard of for these types of diseases.
And the difficulty is that most people, even if they're thinking, well, maybe there's some lead poisoning or mercury poisoning, or why, they'll do a hair analysis. What's wrong with a simple hair analysis just to find out if people do have these toxic metals or toxic problems?
Well, the problem with both hair and blood analysis alone is that a lot of times the metals will not show up fully in this type of tissue. They're in the connective tissue. They're deeper in the body. So you have to do a challenge, if you will, a chelation challenge. You chelate the metal, which is the Greek word to grab. So you go and grab the metal, and then you collect the urine 24 hours in that patient, you know, in a big tub, and it's sent to the laboratory, and then they are able to properly see what's there. So if you did a hair or you do blood, sometimes you'll see that the lab test is normal. Then you do the intravenous provocative and then a 24-hour urine, and all of a sudden you'll start seeing all the metals that were missed previously, and you'll get an accurate number. And actually, while you're treating the patient, you'll start seeing peaks of different metal. So let's say you had, this is very good, let's say you had an elevation of mercury and your lead was normal. I'm just using this as an example. And you start chelating using different agents for the mercury, it starts to decrease. And then all of a sudden, as you're running the lab test, the lead starts to peak, meaning it starts to actually look like it's worse because it's leaching out of the system. It's not easily readable in the it's not just circulating in your bloodstream. These are in deeper tissue of the body. So does that make sense? So as you're starting to clean these things out of the body, you can see the levels start to change, and then they all start to pull back, and then you really know clinically that the patient's metal, the levels of their heavy metals have really decreased. And heavy metals can cause, we've talked about it being part of the complications of Alzheimer's, memory problems, digestive, I mean, it goes on. It just, all you have to do is look at it online. There's tons of toxicities related to metal, and they cause all kinds of symptoms. But again, we never, almost ever see people just have a metal problem. They usually have infectious problems, metal problems, and sometimes other forms of toxicity and a weakened immune system or an immune compromised state. This is really the essence or the key to treating chronic fatigue, fibromyalgia, and autoimmune diseases, because the conventional system calls these idiopathic, which means they don't know what's causing them. But if you really get to the core, you know, we talk about this all the time, but it's really fundamental. If doctors are very good at environmental medicine and immunology, which is what we do at Envita, you're going to be able to really help your patients tremendously improve their quality of life. And I encourage physicians that are out there that know this is the right thing to do, that they should move in this area to help their patients, because it's so satisfying to see people really get well and to be able to really have a change in their quality of life.
Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And I would simply point out that the incidence of Alzheimer's disease is rising dramatically. And, of course, the federal government, which incidentally has cut off all research for the relationship between mercury and Alzheimer's disease, the federal government says, oh, we have no idea why this is happening. Well, I would like to suspect they know why it's happening, because you have, suddenly you have mercury coming out of your dental fillings. And as long as they're in there, they're going to be coming. The mercury's going to leach out of there. But of course, as you grow older, as I am, and I see a lot of the doctors, a lot younger than I am, develop Alzheimer's disease and die from it. These are my friends. And, of course, they died because, of course, they had these various metal toxicities. And yet, of course, they were totally unaware of the problem. And everything, in my estimation, been done to block the fact it's known of the toxicity of the mercury in your fillings. And that's why almost half of the dentists in California have given up using the mercury fillings. But the American Dental Association insists it's harmless. Why would they do that? Well, the same reason they tell you that water fluoridation is good for you. The same reason that they said the government authorities deny that there's a problem with any sort of a spraying. And yet, of course, we're seeing dramatic increase in the levels of lead in the soil, in the animals, in the air, in the water. And nobody knows why so many people are ill. Go right ahead, Dr. Prado.
Well, you're talking about the government, and I think it's important to bring up the fact that just by the very thought of these death panels that are out there,
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Sometimes when you're having an important spiritual conversation with a friend or loved one, time simply runs out. Now there's a place on the World Wide Web that will help you keep your friend's interest until you can meet again face to face. I'm talking about thestoryofjesus.com. Yes, that's right, thestoryofjesus.com. It's a wonderful new website that does exactly what you think it should. It tells the story of Jesus Christ. You'll find there a completely harmonized version of the four gospel accounts. It's available for you to browse through on your computer, download in print for a permanent reference, and you can even listen to the story on your computer or download files, which will work on your portable digital player. Tell your friends. Use it yourself. That's thestoryofjesus.com. Simple as that. Thestoryofjesus.com. For many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our every nutritional need. For generations, these dedicated men and women have supplied us with fresh food at reasonable cost. There is a chance that our food supply could be cut off in the event of a national emergency. You should carefully consider planting your own home garden. A seed bank from seedcatalog.com will make it almost easy. A seed bank contains every seed you'll need to plant a basic survival garden. All heirloom and all ready for you to create that special, necessary outdoor resource. Where can you find out more? Call 888-866-9132 or go to seedcatalog.com. Call 888-866-9132 right now and order seed for this year's garden. Seedcatalog.com.
Unless you really have a very low iron, unless you've been bleeding, constantly losing blood, why, of course, there's a reason to take iron. But the idea that you'd supplement a diet, especially postmenopausal woman, would be taking iron, I think, is potentially dangerous. But go ahead, Barbara.
Well, the one reason I was asking is because my family has a history of hemochromatosis, which is, you know, you have too much iron. So you said, you know, your suggestion would be that you donate blood or anything like this, or, you know, if you just...
It's very hard to chelate out iron itself, yeah. And I think one of the more common methods to removing it is to, be a blood donor, and While we're mentioning blood donating, I always tell people be careful what's in your blood supply. A lot of these infections we're talking about are never screened in the blood supply. Like in the Northeast, they're loaded with ehrlichiosis, Lyme. They don't test for these. They only test for HIV and the hepatitis, and then they're donating blood. So if you're donating blood, keep some aside for yourself in case you need it too, and see if there's an opportunity in your hospital where you can put some aside in case you need it.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, it was, you know, 200 years ago, one of the treatments for disease was bloodletting. That's certainly a suggestion. That's what killed George Washington. But they recognized hundreds of years ago that it was good, of course, sometimes to bleed. And basically, that was the original purpose of the barbershop. The barber was the man who bled people. And there is a place for this. Certainly, one of the big problems we have many times is people will have too much iron. Anything else, Barbara?
No, I was just thinking that the other thing is if you're not taking the iron, but one of my biggest things that I really enjoy eating is spinach, which has a lot of iron in it.
Yes. I think you're okay with spinach. And there's ways for people who are actually low in iron, they can increase their absorption of iron by using vitamin C. Along with iron, and you'll increase the ability to absorb it. But, you know, I think when you're eating it in that type of environment, unless you're eating spinach all day long, I think you have much more benefits in spinach than to worry about too much iron coming from spinach. I think the problem is where people are taking these supplements, and the doctor told them once to start taking it because they may have had a bleeding issue, and now they've been on it for so long, you know, that they actually have too much iron.
Yeah, I stay away from vitamin C because if I start to bleed, I mean, I just put a pressure on for just a couple of seconds and it quits. That's it.
Okay, Barbara.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate, you know, all your information. It is, you know, as I said, it's fascinating and very helpful to our listeners.
Well, you're welcome. God bless you.
Okay, you too.
Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295 if you have a question. But this is a whole different approach to medicine. I mean, you have to consider the very real problem of mercury in the vaccines, mercury that you're getting from your dental in your dental fillings, and certainly the last thing you want to do is just go to your dentist and say, "I want my fillings out." I've seen people who got chronic mercury poisoning from getting their fillings out from a dentist who did not know how dangerous this is. But remember, the highest incidence of suicide in America in any profession is in dentists. Why? Well, because you remember the old idea of the phrase, mad as a hatter? Why did hatters go mad? Because they work with mercury all the time. Why is the highest incidence of any profession of suicide in dentists? Because they work with mercury all the time. And ladies and gentlemen, this is not imaginary. You do not want that in your mouth. What do you advise people as far as getting their dental fillings out?
You want to work with a biological dentist who is experienced at this, and then they use what's called a rubber dam, where essentially they seal everything except the tooth, so you can't have anything be swallowed or go down, and then they use an evacuation with a suction water to really flush it, clean it, and they're chelating the patients before and after, or at least working with an integrative medical doctor so that they're using IV chelation hand in hand, and you're building the patient's immune system because, like you said, this can really cause a worsening of symptoms if it's not done properly.
I want you to get your telephone number out so people will know how to get to the Invita Clinic.
Sure, our phone number is 1-866-830-4576. And again, that's 1-866-830-4576. Or they can visit us at Invita, Envita.com. We have lots of articles, great articles on these infections, chronic illnesses, and people can learn so much.
All right, we're going to be back in just a moment here with Dr. Gina Prado. If you have a question, give us a call.
While the storm clouds gather,
this is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Do you have a chronic disease that has devastated your life? If you do, you should contact the Envita Clinics. Their therapies can reduce the devastating side effects of chronic fatigue, heart disease, Lyme disease, fibromyalgia, and other persistent illnesses. Their experienced team is committed to setting a new standard in patient care. They're dedicated to bringing you the best of what's available in cutting-edge medical science. If I stirred your interest, consider calling Envita at 866-830-4576. Or better yet, investigate their website at Envita.com. That's Envita.com. Or 866-830-4576. Envita at 866-830-4576. Envita.com. People are becoming more aware of the dangers of fluoride in their drinking water. We're offering you a proven way to remove more than 95% of this dangerous chemical, which threatens your good health. It's the Whole House Fluoride Removal System, available right now from Radio Liberty. This system will also remove aluminum, manganese, arsenic, lead, and most heavy metals. Your fear regarding these dangerous chemicals in the water you drink can be eased by getting more information from RadioLiberty.com. Go to RadioLiberty.com right now and find out all you need to know about protecting your home's precious water supply. Read the information about the Whole House Water Fluoride Removal System and order one. Free shipping is included in every purchase. You can also call 1-800-544-8927. Where's that information? RadioLiberty.com. That's 1-800-544-8927.
All sorts of toxins in our food, the nitrates that they had to bring to the meats, and this actually produces cancer of the colon. We could go down the long list, certainly the genetically modified foods are toxic. They influence our reproduction. Some of them are carcinogenic. And we could go through the long list of all the poisons in the food chain. People have to understand about nutrition. Now, do you spend time with your patients on nutrition, or do you have people who can advise them about what to eat and what not to eat? Most people have never even heard of bisphenol yet, because it's a poison that's certainly in plastics. It's a poison which lines all of the tin cans. Almost everybody today will have, you'll find them in the urine. They've been outlawed in almost every other country. You'll almost never see that mentioned in America. I mean, Canada just recently outlawed bisphenols, and yet, of course, they've been for 40 years in our plastics here. And every time you give a child a baby bottle with milk in it and you warm it up, why, the bisphenols come out. And, of course, it gives you a dose of estrogen, which, of course, predisposes women to breast cancer and, of course, feminizes our men. But, Sydney, how do you deal with the problem of nutrition? Well, because most people really don't understand.
Well, in 2009, I wrote a book called The Stupid Diet, and it's a fabulous book because, besides the title, I think the book really says that diets in themselves are not the way to go. It's about changing the way you live, and it teaches you how to eat. It teaches you the ABCs to health, the right attitude and behaviors and changes. It has numerous recipes and the essence of eating organic and the chemicals that are in our foods, the antioxidants we need to protect us, the nutrients. The great simple read, and I actually co-wrote it with my wife, and she's an attorney, so she's a better writer than I am. But the book is called The Stupid Diet. And if patients would like a copy of this, you just call the San Invito Medical Centers. We'll help you. If you pay the shipping and handling, we'll just send you a copy of The Stupid Diet and help you to learn how to eat and your families to eat healthy. Our book, we've just amongst our patients in our own clinic, we've sold 5,000 copies of this book. It's very straightforward. We also talk about how eating is emotional, too. Besides all the chemicals and the nutrition which everybody needs and how to eat healthy, we talk about how food can be very emotional. It can become an addiction. And so food is a gift from God to give us nutrition and health and help us to be strong and healthy and heal. But food can also become an addiction. And so we go into all of that in the book, and we talk about heart disease, diabetes, cancer, infectious disease, and how diet and eating properly and nutrition plays a key role. So, yes, for us, nutrition is essential to good health. And if people want to contact us, we'll be happy to send them a copy of the book and help them get started on a direction of better health.
Well, you better give this telephone number out again.
Yes, our number is 1-866-830-4576. Again, that's 1-866-830-4576. And if you just reach somebody on our staff to say you were on the Dr. Stan show and heard the show and we were talking, and they will help you to get a book. And also they'll help guide you with other things you may have questions about or other nutritional needs or issues that you're trying to battle. We will do our best to point you in the right direction and do our best to help you.
And basically, since a lot of people are a long ways away from Scottsdale, Arizona, one of my friends from Colorado the other day was worried about the possibility of recurring cancer. And he said that the young woman, he talked to her, and she suddenly gave him a whole outline of what needed to be done, how it would be approached. And he was very, very impressed by the fact that she spent a fair amount of time just talking to him about his problems and then what Invita could do for him if he were to come down there.
Well, that's the essence. We have a great team of people that are educated. They go through an education process. They work hand in hand with the doctors, so they're able to really help and point people in the right direction. And then, our clinic, all the doctors in our clinic are all Christian doctors. The goal is to help people. We know that not everybody can make it to Invita. We have about 80% of our patients come from out of state, but we know that the goal is education and spread this information. If you have a sick family member or somebody you know who needs help, get them to the website. What they will learn by contacting us and reading, the whole world will open up of opportunities because they will see what the cause of disease is. We've been doing this for over 10 years. We've worked with thousands of patients. We've built relationships. To us, patients in our center have become part of our family, and everybody is working to help in our center. And we have enough obstacles doing this kind of work. You don't make a lot of friends in the medical industry. The conventional guys don't always like us, and obviously government agencies don't like us either, because we're pushing the envelope. But we're an international center, so we're able to do that. But my point is, where we have built friendships over the years has been with our patients, who are a part of our family, and many of them who are alive today because of the blessing God has given us, and a great team and great medicines to help people.
Well, let me just share for our listeners, a little off the subject, but a friend of mine has developed a product. It's called Lun7X. It's a resveratrol product. Resveratrol has a molecule in there, and it's sort of a master gene that turns genes off and on. And I mean, there's nothing quite like it. It influences about 1,700 genes. This extra product, resveratrol, influences maybe 100, but the combination of vitamin D3 and IP6 and curcumin, the other things, basically influences about 1,700 genes. It was developed at Harvard. They were doing tremendous work with it, showing that it increased the lifespan. Basically, a GlaxoSmithKline came in and paid $720 million for this rights to develop this disease and bought the rights to it. $720 million, worked with it for between 6 and 12 months, shut the thing down and said it doesn't work. Sorry. Why would you put out $720 million to develop a drug that you discontinued even working with after 6 months? Or is it possible GlaxoSmithKline bought that up because it was effective and it was just, this was nothing more than simply simple nutritional products, and they're all things that when working together, they can help people. People say nobody would be so crass as to suppress treatment, and I'd like to suggest there are. Let's talk a little bit about the treatment of cancer, because of course these products can help cancer, but there are treatments for cancer that you're not going to be able to get in America. Let's approach, talk about your approach to cancer and cancer therapy.
Well, one of the things you mentioned we have available to help people is intravenous resveratrol, which can do a lot of anti-angiogenic in cancer. It can be very effective in helping patients, but that's just one little piece. We have all kinds of therapies from the intravenous vitamin C is. It can be almost like a natural chemotherapy extraordinaire because it has some of the benefits of producing, when you give vitamin C in high doses intravenously, which some doctors do, it can selectively kill cancer cells through hydrogen peroxide and establish a strong immune system. Ozone therapy can make that even more effective. Those are basic staples. But we have much, much deeper protocols. We're able to build cancer cell vaccines in our international center where we take the patient's natural killer cells. We grow them into the billions. We teach them to attack tumor. And then it's almost like a miniature immune system transplant, and we give it right back to the patient to go after the metastases of the spread of cancer. We do genetic testing, so we're able to give micro doses of chemotherapy, so the patient has almost minimal side effects and has the benefit of the treatment, but genetically tested so they know that there's a much better chance of the medicine working. And when we do that, we give it at only about 10 or 15% of the regular dose. We use insulin to potentiate it because cancer cells carry a lot more insulin. They use sugar to metabolize and grow. So we use that as, if you will, to kind of deliver a Trojan horse of chemo specifically to the cancer cell while sparing the healthy cells. We have therapies where we use immune modulators, botanical modulators, a number of them, that we look at which patient might respond based on genetic testing. We have a number of detoxification methods that we use. In our international centers, we're able to do surgical procedures where then we use photodynamic light to implode metastases. I mean, you can start seeing as I'm just starting to talk about the things we do, there's so much we offer. Our tools are bigger than most all alternative doctors, and they're a whole lot bigger than the conventional doctors. And I think that's the special thing about Invita Medical Centers is we really are leading the way in treatment, and only until you've been through cancer and the difficulty of it can you appreciate how important it is to have these options and to have them. And I always tell patients, your statistics and your outcomes improve the sooner you implement the right combination. The sooner you do it, the better you off you are. Inside our website, we have a fabulous article on stage 4 cancer statistics and really how the pharmaceutical companies play games with percentage of outcome and survival time. No one dares to give data beyond 2 to 3 to 5 years because chemotherapy is only 2% successful in late-stage cancers beyond 5 years. And so people don't really realize that these things that we're talking about should not really be just options. They should be the approach, the comprehensive approach a patient is thinking of. We have radiation consultants that we use targeted radiation where we minimize the full dosage to the body, target the tumor within 0.1 millimeter of accuracy, and be able to shrink that tumor and avoid surgery, because a lot of times with surgery you can get spread of cancer, you can get metastasis. So it's the combination of the best of both worlds, and every patient is different, but this is the great thing that our doctors do is they find the good combination, they help the patient, and let me tell you, just from the years of experience, the right combination makes all the difference. It's very much like getting the right recipe. And once you have that, you will have much better statistics, much better survival, and you will have a much better quality of life. Cancer has options in treatment, and people are not aware of them because they just go to their standard facility. The doctor's treating them, and they say, you're responding. The tumor seems like it's shrinking in the beginning, and then it stops and starts to grow, and now you have a resistant cancer. This is very common because in the conventional system, success is based on tumor shrinkage. And that is really a lie. The success should be based on survival and quality of life. And so there's a lot there with cancer. Well, we've been doing this for a number of years, and it takes a patient. They really need to get educated, and that's what we're here to do. We help people learn and understand all their options, and when they do, they start to feel empowered again.
Well, I think the important thing about cancer is the patient's immune response, and that really is the key. It's that the, your body's always forming cancer cells, but your immune system will take care of them. It's when the immune response is compromised or when there's just so much cancer there, it overwhelms the immune system, you get into problems. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Do you ever use any of the polypeptides that Dr. Brzezinski has advocated?
Yeah, the neoplastins. Brzezinski's clinic is really not alternative medicine, and I respect their work. It's really good for glioblastoma and for brain cancers, but they're really now in the drug trial world. So they're using anti-neoplastins. They use a lot of phenyl sodium butyrate, which, you know, for patients who can't be in the study or enrolled, and they do genetic testing with chemotherapy. We've done that genetic testing for a lot longer, and we do it through intravenous selective treatment. So the Brzezinski Clinic has got some great stuff going on with the anti-neoplastin for brain cancer in children and those who are candidates for the study, but it's really not an alternative medicine clinic. They don't do intravenous therapy. They don't do any immune system modulation. They don't do any, you know, but they're doing the anti-neoplastin. And I think what happens is when you go, and this, we were down this road because we did get approved for a phase one drug study using the body's immune system. But once you go down that road, your whole center becomes almost like a drug trial center. So you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do this. And that's why we decided to go with an international clinic so that we could have all the options and use them all to help the patient, because you don't want to use a one-hit wonder approach. Does that make sense? And so it's been very difficult for them politically. I think they want to be an alternative clinic. They're really not. They're more of a conventional center. They're more chemotherapy bound. They use a lot of good genetic testing, and they use, like I said, the anti-neoplastins for those who are candidates to be enrolled in the study. But it's really not full integrative medicine. And but for those who have brain cancers, I think anti-neoplastins might be a very good option for them. For glioblastoma cases, that might be a good option for them. But there's a lot more to alternative medicine, and until you know all the various treatments and protocols, you don't know how to distinguish the different centers.
Well, because 60 Minutes had one of those exposés recently, you know, about the doctors doing genetic testing and how it was all fraudulent. As I watch that, I'm saying to myself, this is obviously to discourage anyone from doing the genetic testing and trying to find the drugs, which really will help. Now, you have to understand 60 Minutes is part of the establishment at CBS, and they're going to certainly many times play down or destroy people who have effective treatments, just the same way as the government has spent millions of dollars trying to put Dr. Brzezinski in prison because he was curing people with cancers.
And yes, and that's part of the problem is that, you know, when they started doing that, he had to develop a drug study and focus on anti-neoplastin. And then once you go in that direction, you can only do that treatment because, you know, as a drug study, you cannot, they cannot be on anything else. They have to be only on that drug, and there's all these different criteria, and it limits the doctor's ability to really help the patient, in honesty. It really can.
Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295, but cancer is on the rise across America, and I'm sure you're well aware of that. Do we have any idea why so many more people are developing cancer today than they did 30 or 40 years ago?
Yeah, well, yes, it's the toxins, but just as we were talking about genetics in the past, there's probably 20,000-plus different genetic variations that are impacting epigenetic changes that impact cancer. And that's what you're talking about, 60 Minutes. The essence to cancer treatment in the future is going to be isolating that genetic information, which is what we're doing, and better selecting therapies. Right now, maybe we can manipulate around 300 to 400 different variations, but there's over 20,000. So if you understand, there's a long way to go. But these mutations are being caused by environmental toxins. Infectious disease is huge. And these things are what bring about cancer.
Well, I guess it's Dr. Dino Prato of the Invita Medical Center. And if you want to, first you get to their site, you can certainly go to my website and go to our homepage. And we have a banner there for the clinic. And Dr. Prato and Invita does help us, but we think they're doing great work, and we'll be back in a moment. Why don't you just, we've got 3 minutes for you to wrap up the program.
Well, I think that, we've talked about a lot.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a four-tape or a four-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that'll protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Sometimes when you're having an important spiritual conversation with a friend or loved one, time simply runs out. Now there's a place on the World Wide Web that will help you keep your friend's interest until you can meet again face to face. I'm talking about thestoryofjesus.com. Yes, that's right, thestoryofjesus.com. It's a wonderful new website that does exactly what you think it should. It tells the story of Jesus Christ. You'll find there a completely harmonized version of the four gospel accounts. It's available for you to browse through on your computer, download in print for a permanent reference, and you can even listen to the story on your computer or download files, which will work on your portable digital player. Tell your friends. Use it yourself. That's thestoryofjesus.com. Simple as that. Thestoryofjesus.com. For many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our every nutritional need. For generations, these dedicated men and women have supplied us with fresh food at reasonable cost. There is a chance that our food supply could be cut off in the event of a national emergency. You should carefully consider planting your own home garden. A seed bank from seedcatalog.com will make it almost easy. A seed bank contains every seed you'll need to plant a basic survival garden. All heirloom and all ready for you to create that special, necessary outdoor resource. Where can you find out more? Call 888-866-9132 or go to seedcatalog.com. Call 888-866-9132 right now and order seed for this year's garden. Seedcatalog.com.
I often don't like to call in when you have guests like this because the information is so good that I don't want to interrupt what he's saying, but the website is so good, and the patients that I meet, I feel that I have to share this information as often as I can, and it is a really good website. So Invita.com is just so easy to send people there. So thank you so much, doctors, both of you, for providing this information for us.
Well, I appreciate you calling in, Jeff. I'm sure that Dr. Prado appreciates much as I do people calling in and letting us know people are out there listening at they're being helped and they appreciate what we're doing. God bless you. Thanks so much,
Jeff. Jeff, God bless you.
Okay, fine. Well, I'll let you go. It's getting a little bit late, but we'll look forward to talking to you here real soon, Dr. Prado.
Well, God bless you, and thank you for having me on your show.
Thank you. Well, Dr. Stan here, and certainly, basically, we've had an awful lot of good reports from people who've been to Invita. It's in Scottsdale, Arizona, and all I can do is suggest that if you have a problem, at least call them and see. You may not be able to get down there, but they do have counselors. They can point you in the right direction if you get down there. Of course, you really need to be under some sort of an integrative medical approach. And I will tell you, I've learned far more about medicine since I gave up practice than I did. And I go to medical meetings regularly, and medicine hasn't changed a great deal in the last 60 years. But I will tell you, the integrative medicine is going to make a tremendous difference. So let me mention that we certainly have a number of books on medical issues. Certainly we have Dr. Blaylock's wonderful book, Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life. Natural strategies for cancer patients. If you want to know how they're poisoning with aspartame, we have 4 tape sets on that. If you want to know how they're poisoning your food and your water, we finally have the DVD, Geoengineering. It's the talk that Roslyn Peterson gave at our conference. It is the finest material on geoengineering and comtrails and chemtrails you'll find any place. And the pictures that they have are superb. And Rosalind, when she came and spoke to our conference, she brought with her a gentleman who had been, I believe, with the military, worked in weather modification for many years. So you'll want to get her a DVD on geoengineering. I should also mention that after 30 years now, we have my interview on DVD with Norman Dodd, the director of research for the Reese Committee, which in 1953 and 1954 investigated the great tax-exempt foundations, Rockefeller, Carnegie, and Ford, that set out to transform the world and prepare the way for this one world order. So the DVD is now available, my interview with Norman Dodd, and certainly my analysis of what's going on. So we call it the dangerous deception. The dangerous deception, because most of what you think you know just isn't true. And of course, this is a classic interview. It was done, 32, 33 years ago, and it's taken a long time to get it out on DVD, but it became available as of yesterday. Norman Dodd, The Dangerous Deception. Roslyn Peterson on geoengineering. Those two DVDs are a must. You need to get the information. You need to find out what's going on, how they're using their geoengineering and the release of the aluminum into the atmosphere and the strontium and the barium to poison your food, to destroy our forests, to poison the ground to poison the aquatic life and the fish and the whales. And most people have no idea what's happening. Our number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection.
Let us all be grateful.
This is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay. And and bring you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you, the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and for the next hour, the last hour of the week, here at Radio Liberty, every week, William Grigg. William, thanks very much for being with us again.
Well, Dr. Stan, thank you. It's always a pleasure and a blessing to be with you every Friday night, and I consider it a privilege and something I eagerly anticipate.
Well, tell us, what are we going to talk about tonight?
We have to talk about the rampant and impenitent lawlessness of the people who presume to rule us. That's, of course, a common subject of conversation every Friday night, and we talk about variations on that theme, but unfortunately, that's pretty much the defining reality of our time, is the fact that those who exercise what should be delegated and limited authority claim absolute power, and they're brazen about it now. There really is no pretense anymore that we're in any sense a nation ruled by law, which is what we're supposed to be.
Well, there was quite a controversy this week, and apparently Leon Panetta had been testifying before the Senate, and he had commented that certainly our military action as far as Iran was going to be determined by the position of NATO and NATO directives. And the senators were saying, wait a minute now, we're the United States Senate. I mean, we're the ones who authorize military action. And Leon Panetta, basically we follow the directions of NATO, and NATO will determine largely of America's foreign military action, certainly before we did anything as far as, Egypt. We had to check with them before we did anything, and of course America didn't go in. It was the other countries who were in there helping to kill the people and overthrow Mubarak and install the new radical Muslim state there. And a lot of people were somewhat concerned. They were confused, this idea. Well, we thought Congress directed the military, but not according to Leon Panetta. But you go ahead and pick up the story.
That was a very telling illustration of what we're talking about, Dr. Stan, was the colloquy between Leon Panetta and, I believe, with Senator Jeff Sessions from Alabama on Wednesday. And there are a couple of things about this that I think need to be highlighted, the first of which is the fact that Panetta was being utterly blasé about the fact that he was admitting to committing high crimes against the Constitution, impeachable offenses for the president, probably prosecutable offenses for anybody in the chain of command, when he says that you do not need to get Congress involved in any way in a decision that involves an international coalition. And then by way of trying to placate the offended sensibilities of Senator Sessions, Panetta really compounded the offense by saying that under the Constitution, when you're talking about matters having to do with the defense of the United States, the president is the chief decision maker. Of course, that isn't true either. The president, according to the notes of the convention, and this, of course, is a very disputable thing, the president can, as the commander-in-chief, take immediate action to repel a sudden attack against the United States. Anything beyond that, of course, would require explicit congressional permission and a mandate in the form of a declaration of war, but he'd completely cut Congress out of any role whatsoever in the disposition of American military force with respect to matters having to do either with the defense of the country or any kind of international entanglement that they might conjure up. So it is a really brazen instance of complete impunity and defiance of the Constitution and probably a prosecutable crime.
Well, I know Leon Panetta personally. I ran against him in 1988. I was a Republican congressional candidate. There's always been an invisible, radical, powerful force behind Leon Panetta. You go right ahead.
I was aware, of course, of the fact that you have that distant connection to Congressman Panetta, and he has carved out a career that is completely untainted by commitment to the oath to the Constitution that he's sworn as a congressman. And he's somebody for whom words of that sort, of course, are as ephemeral as snowflakes and as meaningless as a child's puzzle. He's not somebody who in any sense could be considered a patriot, quite frankly. He's somebody who worships power and somebody who is completely intoxicated with the sense of his own invulnerability and his own supposed importance. And that, I think, came through very powerfully in the clip that has been broadcast across the Internet. It was just a few hours after that came out, as a matter of fact, that Republic magazine, we posted a brief commentary and the relevant clip and highlighted the fact that he was saying very openly and without so much as a hint of misgiving that the Congress of the United States has no role in deciding what the mission of the United States military would be, that the president has plenary authority except for those instances in which he would seek authorization from either NATO or from the United Nations Security Council. And of course, they're fundamentally the same thing. They're functionally interchangeable. NATO is a regional arrangement under, I believe it's Article 51 of the United Nations Charter, which talks about regional affiliates. NATO has never had any meaningful existence apart from its origins as that type of a regional arrangement of the United Nations. If you go back and take a look at the founding documents of NATO, look at the NATO Charter, it explicitly acknowledges its provenance. If you go back and read the debates over involvement in NATO, it's very clear that it was seen as a way of enhancing the United Nations back when United States involvement in that treaty organization was approved by the Senate. And, of course, the United Nations Security Council presumes to be the apex decision-making body with respect to matters of war and peace and any other international political arrangements or economic arrangements that might be discussed. And so when the President of the United States or any element of the executive branch of the United States government claims to receive authorization from the Security Council, what they're doing is they're recognizing the Security Council for that purpose as the sovereign, as the global sovereign. And by doing so, they are repudiating the Declaration of Independence to begin with, but obviously, of course, the Constitution, which has a very specific and non-negotiable allocation of powers with respect to the military and foreign affairs. And the thing about Jeff Sessions' involvement in this colloquy that I think needs to be appreciated is that he didn't seem to appreciate the fact that what Panetta is describing...
Hold that thought. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and so you were discussing the exchange this week in the Senate between the Secretary of Defense, Leon Panetta, and Senator Sessions, and people must understand that what most of the senators and congressmen don't understand is that they are irrelevant. They really are irrelevant. As they can pass all the laws that they want to. It doesn't mean that the executive branch of government is going to follow it along. Certainly when it comes to foreign affairs or military involvement, they are irrelevant. And this is what Leon Panetta, in essence, said. The president will make the decisions, and of course he will be answerable to the United Nations and NATO. And you have to understand that NATO was never to be anything more than a military enforcement arm of UN policy, but NATO is actually now, for all intents and purposes, the world army. They don't want to talk about a world army. They don't want to talk about the fact we have a world army and a world bank and a world court and a world certainly parliament and a world executive and a world health organization. They don't want to talk about the fact that we have a world police force, that's Interpol. Everything is in place for this one world dictatorship, which will be headed by the one world spiritual leader, the Antichrist. But you see, the average individual is supposed to think that why we're ruled by our elected representatives. Well, first of all, I'm firmly convinced they've rigged our elections, and we now have the electronic voting machines. They know they can be rigged. When people speak out against this thing, there's a new book out pointing out how often people who've spoken out about this end up dying under very mysterious circumstances. I remember when two people came to Santa Cruz here and were, of course, going around taking pictures at our local voting office, and I believe they were brothers, and they were trying to bring out the fact that the voting here was being rigged, and one of them mysteriously dies, and well, that sort of discouraged the other one. And Cass Ingram's book up on the internet now, you can pull it for nothing, called Rigged, and he talks about all the people involved with rigging the elections and how frequently they die. We actually have a DVD with D.V. Kidd, who ran for Congress here in California. They rigged her election, and we have the DVD. She goes into the background of it. So why should we be surprised when we find out that Congress is irrelevant and Leon Panetta let the cat out of the bag? Why a policy will be determined by the president or in conjunction with the United Nations and NATO? Go right ahead.
Indeed. One of the aspects of this conversation that I found really telling and that many people might not appreciate was the fact that Senator Sessions seemed to be acting on the assumption that these international arrangements by way of NATO and the UN Security Council would represent an impediment to American involvement in military affairs overseas rather than a facilitator of American entanglement in such ventures. And it's not well understood that the purpose of the United Nations, which was born in World War II, this is an entity that started out before it had a discrete permanent organizational structure, started out as the alliance that fought the Axis in World War II. It was actually something that grew out of the Anglo-American relationship described by Carol Quigley and others. The Anglo-American elite created the Atlantic Charter and created this doctrine of Atlanticism that coalesced into the Declaration of the, I'm trying to remember which declaration it was that was signed by Roosevelt and Churchill right after the beginning of America's involvement in World War II. It literally, from 1942 on, they referred to the alliance as the United Nations. But the United Nations itself, whether you're talking about the alliance of the organization, was meant to be a war-fighting body. It was not meant to be a peace-promoting body. And it has a Soviet perspective on what constitutes war and peace. Peace, according to the Soviet perspective, is the submission of a targeted area to the rule of the proletariat or to socialism, to collectivism, however you characterize it, and war exists wherever there is still some resistance to the triumph of that collectivist idea, or the existence of an imperfectly attuned variety of collectivism. Now, that was the vision that was enshrined in the founding instruments of the United Nations, because the United Nations was a hybrid between Western elitist corporatism and the Soviet variety of collectivism. And whatever happened with the Soviet Union in the interim, the fact is that the vision is very, very much alive institutionally and in terms of the documentary element of the United Nations system. We take a look at the official documents describing the UN's military arrangements. They talk about a peace force, which are two words that don't go together well. Those are words that really cannot be wedded. Those are unequally yoked terms. Peace force is an internal contradiction, an oxymoron. But if you read the United Nations documents with respect to disarmament and warfare, they talk about the existence of the United Nations Peace Force. And ideally, they would have, working through the Secretary of the United Nations, an organization, a military standing organization that would be able to carry out what they call Chapter 7 actions. Chapter 7 is that element of the UN Charter that talks about waging war for the purpose of promoting peace at gunpoint. And Chapter 7 actions are the literal equivalent in the UN Security Council's argo of declarations of war. And we've had several of them during the 50 or 60 years that the United States has been involved in United Nations military entanglements, beginning with Korea, which was authorized through the United Nations Security Council and carried out pursuant to the U.S. involvement in the NATO treaty. President Truman actually invoked the NATO treaty to justify the unilateral deployment of American military troops into Korea to fight to repel the Soviet-sponsored aggression by the North Korean faction against South Korea.
Which actually we had actually invited. Because, of course, Dean Acheson had come forward. He was the Secretary of State. And this is covered, incidentally, in Senator McCarthy's book, Reminiscences. Mm-hmm. Why? Dean Acheson, the Secretary of State, came forward and said, if South Korea is attacked, we will not defend it because it's outside our perimeter defense. And then, of course, very shortly thereafter, the Joint Chiefs of Staff came out and said, if South Korea is attacked, we will not defend it because it's outside our perimeter of defense. And so North Korea attacked South Korea, and you'd never guess what happens.
Yeah.
No, but let me just point out that this last week was a very fascinating week for me. Because we actually have now available, and we're offering it to our listeners, a DVD based upon an interview I did with Norman Dodd, who was Director of Research for the Reese Committee, in 1953 and 1954. And Norman Dodd, suddenly had the opportunity at that time, the Congress authorized the investigation of the Great Tax Exempt Foundations, Ford, Carnegie and Rockefeller, to find out why they were funding radical leftist organizations and communist organizations throughout our country and throughout the world. And so one of the things Norman Dodd had the opportunity was to send one of his investigators to go through the papers of the Carnegie Endowment for Peace. And this was a very well-endowed foundation, the Carnegie International a Foundation for Endowment for Peace. And Miss Catherine Casey, according to the interview you'll hear with Norman Dodd, had the opportunity of specifically of going through the minutes for the year 1908-1909, where, of course, all these learned men who belong to this Endowment for Peace are sitting around trying to determine how we will bring about perpetual world peace. And they decided the best way to change the world so we could have world peace was to precipitate war. And then from 1909 to 1910, they spent the year figuring out how they were going to get a war started and get America into the war. Now, Norman Dodd will tell you that story. It's an interview I did in 1980 based upon what had happened over half a century ago. About 60 years ago. But it is so true. You can't understand anything going on today. We fight perpetual wars because we want to bring about peace. I mean, that's the most logical thing in the world. It's all about a world government. And behind that, the powerful spiritual forces that want to establish and install the new world leader. And this is, of course, the problem we have with most conservative ministries, is they want to talk about the political and ideological and cultural and military implications of what's going on without ever addressing the spiritual forces which energize this movement towards the New World Order, the New World Financial System, the New World Religion, and the New World Leader. I will be quiet, go right ahead with him.
All of this, of course, is bound up, as you say, Dr. Stan, in waging war in the name of peace. And that, of course, is as fruitless as trying to overtake a horizon. And there's no better way to catalyze government power and to eliminate impediments on power than waging war. And the way that the Constitution was structured, this is something that is made abundantly clear in Madison's notes and in the commentary that was offered by both Madison and Hamilton. Hamilton being a proponent of a robust executive. He favored what he called energy in the executive and had a more monarchical perspective on the presidency than any of the other founders. They both agreed that the purpose of Congress was to try to impede the ambitions of the executive to wage war, understanding that that's the way that an executive aggrandizes himself. Unfortunately, now, of course, we have a system where the President of the United States operates outside of constitutional restraints without in any way being under the requirement of deferring to Congress, operating through the United Nations, which facilitates war and which transforms, of course, our own domestic society in a way compatible with the needs of perpetual war, which is why we're living under an imperial and lawless system today rather than under a constitutional republic.
And I think it's so vitally important to realize that this, the significance of what happened this week when Leon Panetta simply confirmed the fact that Congress, our duly elected representatives, are irrelevant. Go right ahead, William.
This has happened.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Whether you want more energy to keep up with everyday life or simply the great feeling that comes from better health, you won't get there without serious, proven nutritional support. I'd like to suggest that you try Propax NT. Propax contains a powerful group of nutrients called the NT factor, specifically designed and clinically validated to enhance cellular energy. Clinical trials have demonstrated that Propax improved participants' energy levels. They felt better, too. Why don't you go to the website for complete information? It's simply propax.com. That's PROPAX.com. Or you can call 800-982-9158. Propax.com or 800-982-9158. Find out about Propax today.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances? Even things which can cause sickness or disease. If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
We're seeing this in Syria as a replay of what we saw last year in Libya and this whole idea that why, of course, we would impose a no-fly zone. And, of course, once we can impose a no-fly zone, why we certainly could do anything we wanted to militarily. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have any question that we are behind what this Arab Spring, this is all financed, this is all directed, this is all orchestrated by the Brotherhood of Darkness. We've overthrown the government of Tunisia. We've overthrown the government of Egypt and of Libya. We're in the process of overthrowing the government of Syria. We have already, several years ago, our agents overthrew the government of Turkey and moved them into the radical Muslim camp. We've done the same thing in Lebanon. And, of course, after Syria, I suspect it will be Iran. Why are we doing this? Well, we're creating the best enemy money could buy. The Muslim Brotherhood are a wonderful enemy to hate. And we can get all the Christians in America to hate those radical Muslims who are just so terrible, and they want to kill Christians, and they hate Christianity, and they probably burn Bibles, and they execute ministers. And that's why we've got to hate them, because you can't have a war unless you have an enemy you can hate. Go right ahead, William.
And, of course, the most detestable elements of that enemy are, as you say, on the payroll of the three-letter agencies in the United States government and are very well appointed and very well provided for by the same government who's supposedly going to protect us from them. And what's going on in Syria, of course, is that you have, just as in Libya, a supposed insurrectionary army that is actually an emanation of the CIA and British intelligence. They're doing horrible things. And they're supposedly the government in waiting once Bashar al-Assad is toppled. And we are getting chapter and verse about the horrible things that Bashar Assad's admittedly horrible government is doing to people, which are not different in either kind or intensity from what has been done in Bahrain, which is a Sunni kingdom that is the host of the Fifth Fleet. And so while Bashar al-Assad is being execrated as this year's Muammar Gaddafi or the Hitler du jour, the Emirates running Bahrain, which is doing exactly the same things, is receiving arms and equipment, material, and subsidy from the United States. And you've got, of course, an enclosed island that is ruled by the Sunni monarchy, which sits atop a very restive Shiite Muslim population. And yet they have tanks and other armor, which, of course, you wouldn't need on an island for any purpose other than the suppression of domestic dissent. In Bahrain, you have doctors being prosecuted for treating people who've been gunned down as enemies of the state. If a doctor is faithful to his Hippocratic oath in Bahrain and treats the wounded without fear or favor or questions about their ideology, and he happens to treat people who have been on the receiving end of U.S.-subsidized police state repression, the doctor himself and his whole family will be punished. That's going on in Bahrain right now, and it's not getting any attention. And part of the dirty deals, one part of the dirty dealing that led to the war in Libya last year was a quiet agreement by the Obama administration, brokered by Hillary Clinton, permitting the Saudi Arabian government, another charming regime, to send reinforcements to Bahrain in order to shore up the Sunni satellite kingdom and its bloody crackdown against Shiite dissent. That was going on while Libya was being highlighted as a scene of bloodshed and horror and a spectacle of world-class human rights abuse. The same kind of thing is going on right now in Syria, and Bahrain, of course, is still a bloody mess. But what happened last year with the invasion of Libya, and it was an invasion as well as a no-fly zone, was that the Security Council acted on an initiative from the Arab League. And this happened over a weekend when Congress wasn't even in session, and Congress wasn't even informed as to what was going on in any official way until a couple of weeks into that war. And it was a war. It was not merely a kinetic military activity, as the Obama administration insisted on calling it, so that it wouldn't be supposedly covered by the War Powers Act, let alone by the Constitution. This was a full-fledged shooting war. And the same thing is probably going to happen with respect to Syria and will be arranged through the United Nations and carried up by NATO as a backdoor, perhaps, to a war with Iran, which is an ally of Syria. That's part of the larger agenda here for the revolutionary transformation of the Middle East. And that, of course, is a scenario that could lead to a perfectly horrible outcome for the world economy and drive what remains of our own economy right into the sewer, and that's most likely what's going to be happening in the rest of the year, or perhaps early next year, so we need to brace for that as well.
And of course, whenever you start a war, you never know how it is going to end.
Only
that's
the
problem. We'll be back in just a moment with William Grigg. And men and women become accomplices to the evils they fail to oppose, and who is opposing the war?
Let us swear allegiance to a land that's free. Let us all be grateful for a land so fair. As we raise our voices in a
well, this is Dr. Stan. William, go right ahead. You know, the thing that really disturbs me is most of the Christians in America support going to war with Syria because they want, pardon me, with Iran because they want to protect Israel. And so it's perfectly all right then to start a preemptive war with Iran because we love Israel and we want to protect Israel. Organized insanity. If you love Israel and you want to protect it, the last thing you'd want to do would it be to go to war with Iran because you would guarantee there would be reprisals of thousands or tens of thousands of missiles raining down on Israel, which would never occur unless Iran was attacked. But go right ahead.
What's actually happening now is that the people who are supporting a war with Iran are trying to tune the atmosphere by conducting a rather comprehensive media campaign emphasizing the idea that there really are no good outcomes here, that Israel is going to be attacked. The question is whether they will be better off undergoing a fusillade of conventional low-yield missiles from Hezbollah and other proxies for Iran in retaliation for a supposed preemptive strike against Iran. That's the better alternative. Or the worst alternative, which would be that Iran would develop a nuclear weapon and immediately use it against Israel or put it in the hands of people who would. And that, of course, is a huge exercise in question begging, because if you attack Iran, you'll end up with the first scenario, and the second scenario is entirely suppositious. And that underscores a principle I like to talk about often, which is that the lesser of two evils isn't, because nobody consciously chooses the greater evil. The hypothetical greater evil is never done. It is the tangible evil that is supposedly lesser than the hypothetical one that is done. And that which is done, obviously, is worse than that which is merely discussed or imagined. And so what would happen here is that if we accepted that premise and acted on it, that Israel would endure some kind of tumult and chaos, turmoil and hardship, and we would be told that what would have happened in the alternative would have been much worse, but we'd never know, obviously, because the hypothetical wouldn't have played out. But on top of that, of course, you'd end up with a horrible set of circumstances for the 20,000 or so Jews who live in Iran.
Hold that thought. Hold that thought. We'll be right back here in just a moment. Our guest, of course, is William Grigg, and I should have, of course, introduced William at the beginning of the program. He's a longtime editor of the New American Magazine, more recently the managing director or editor of Republic Magazine, a frequent blogger. He actually writes the newsletter, the monthly newsletter for Radio Liberty, and certainly one of our favorite guests. William, go right ahead.
Thank you, Dr. Stan. I do appreciate it a great deal. I want to underscore a couple of things about Iran that are not often discussed. We've talked about them before. They bear repeating now. The first of which is that Iran, which, of course, is ruled by a horrible government, albeit one that is not measurably worse in many ways than the government that was inflicted on the Iranians back in 1953, is a country where you have a majlis, a parliament, that includes, I believe, several dozen Jewish representatives who are elected to represent, among other people, the 20,000 or so Jews who live in Tehran. There are synagogues in Tehran. There are Jewish-owned and operated hospitals that exist in Tehran. A few years ago, Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, not my favorite public figure by any stretch of the imagination, actually was photographed visiting a Jewish hospital and giving a check to the Jewish hospital for the purpose of helping it to carry out its mission of treating the sick and the injured and the dying. I don't know whether he was giving government funds or giving privately collected funds, but the point is he was donating money to a Jewish hospital. If you're going to contend that Mahmoud Ahmadinejad is somehow an avatar of Adolf Hitler, you're going to have to find documentary evidence that Mr. Hitler, in the course of his public career, conferred a similar beneficence on a Jewish hospital in Germany. I don't think that the record will reveal any such instance. So whatever you might want to say about Mr. Ahmadinejad, once again, I think that he's scrofulous and disreputable. He's not Adolf Hitler, and if he indeed burns with a desire to see the death of every Jew within his sphere of influence, he's been a laggard in carrying out that horrible mission, because there are, as I mentioned, 20,000 Jews who remain largely unmolested in Tehran. They're molested by that government to the exact extent that everybody else, unfortunate enough to be governed by it, is molested. The second point I want to make about Israel and Iran is that to the extent that there is a nuclear program and a nuclear threat, a weaponized, militarized nuclear threat in Tehran, the United States and Israel bear some element of responsibility. We've talked before about the fact that during the Nixon and Ford administration, it was the policy of the United States government to help the Shah of Iran develop nuclear capacity. He had never been shy about admitting that the reason why he wanted to develop nuclear capacity was for the purpose of developing a nuclear arsenal. And you can go back into the microfiche or microfilm, or to the extent that these have been digitized, the computer records of mainstream news journals such as Time and Newsweek and U.S. News and World Report from the mid to late 1970s, and you can see ample discussion of this, including advertisements that were taken out in major U.S. publications depicting Shah Reza Pahlavi in his military finery endorsing nuclear power and talking about the fact that in spite of the existence of this huge puddle of oil and significant amount of natural gas that exists in Iran, the Shah was diversifying into nuclear energy. One line that we frequently hear is that obviously Iran, which has vast oil reserves and other energy resources, wouldn't be developing nuclear energy as a clean, renewable energy resource. Well, that's not true. That's been an objective of Iranian policy for at least four decades. With respect to weaponizing nuclear assets in Iran, this is something I wrote about in a piece for Republic magazine earlier this week. During the mid-1970s, at a time when nuclear proliferation was just becoming a matter of vast public concern, the government of Israel was quietly talking to, among other rogue regimes, the government of Reza Pahlavi in Iran and the government of South Africa. Their actual documents that were signed between 1975 and 1977, excuse me, between the, I believe, the Begin government, and Moshe Dayan was involved in some of these discussions, and the government of South Africa, in which they were discussing the provision of weaponized nuclear materials and helping the South African government develop a nuclear weapons capacity, and the provision of three different sizes of delivery vehicles, that is to say missiles that would have regional and potentially intercontinental range. This is something that was quietly pursued until the end of the government, the so-called white minority government in 1990, and that nuclear capacity was inherited by the African National Congress-led government, which is to say the Marxist government of South Africa that took over in 1990, and they've not continued to build on that capacity, which I find to be a really interesting and somewhat puzzling development. It's rather arresting to see that you have a government in South Africa that is in the hands of a terrorist group. The African National Congress, by any relevant definition, was a terrorist group. They acquired nuclear weapons capacity, and for whatever reason, they decided not to develop it, not to enlarge upon it, probably because they're deterred by the knowledge that if they acquired a nuclear capacity and were seen as a threat, there are people within their regional ambit who also have nuclear weapons who could turn that country into a wasteland very quickly. One of those nations is Israel. So they are deterred, perhaps, by the knowledge that Israel has several hundred nuclear warheads and a demonstrated willingness to use them. In the same time frame, 1975 to about 1979, when you had Khomeini return from exile in Paris in 1978, early 1979, and overthrow Reza Pahlavi, and in doing so, he had the aid of the same CIA-backed clerics who had installed the Shah back in 1953, the Israeli government was engaged in discussions with Reza Pahlavi to provide him with the means to develop nuclear weapons. That's something that came out in the revelations having to do with the Iran-Contra scandal, because many of the same people who were involved in the arms for hostages swaps of the mid-1980s with Iran were involved in discussions about providing Israeli nuclear know-how to Iran under the Shah. That element of the program didn't continue after Khomeini came to power, but discussions regarding the delivery of missile technology that could be used as delivery systems for nuclear weapons, that element of the Israeli-Iranian underground arms conduit remained open. And so, once again, you have the fact that you have this transition from an authoritarian government to one that's headed by anti-Western terrorists, having acquired or having inherited from the predecessor regime nuclear know-how and other strategically troubling technologies that happened in the case of South Africa. It happened in the case of Iran. And Israel was deeply implicated in both of those developments, as was the United States. But you have this remarkable interval from the late 1970s in the case of Iran, or the 1990s, early 1990s in the case of South Africa, where neither country really has shown much interest in acquiring nuclear weapons capacity. And they most likely wouldn't unless they were put into a corner in which it would be necessary to acquire them for the purpose of deterrence.
Well, you know, William, I lived in South Africa from 1974 to 1977. I was a professor over there at a major university. And at that time, it was well known that South Africa had several nuclear weapons. In fact, they even set one off. And, of course, I can remember talking to people who worked in a group. I think it was the fellow who headed the Republican Research Unit. This was about 1992 or 1993.
Mm-hmm.
And he assured me that Iran had a couple of atom bombs they'd bought on the open market. They had them stashed away someplace. He said, but we never hear about any of these things at all. And of course, certainly we never talk about the fact that the United States State Department allowed the transfer of the technology that allowed Pakistan to build nuclear weapons.
That was
the Sybil Edmonds story. And basically, I mean, nobody ever asked, how could a second-rate country like Pakistan, third-rate country like Pakistan, possibly develop the wherewithal and the techniques and the equipment necessary to develop up to 150 nuclear weapons? And the answer is, we gave it to them. And we have successfully concealed that fact. Everybody in the whole world knows the Sybil Edmonds story, except for the American people, where we have freedom of the press, which really means if you have freedom of the press, you have the freedom to suppress whatever you want to. If you want to know the full tragic story, simply go to your search engine on your computer and type in Radio Liberty, Sybil Edmonds story, and you can read it on my webpage, and exactly what was Sybil told of the London Sunday Telegraph or Times, I can't remember which one, about how, of course, she had the evidence, she had the facts, she had the documentation that our State Department had knowingly allowed the transfer of nuclear technology to Pakistan, and had suddenly she was blocked not only by the local federal court and the appeals court, but the United States Supreme Court for telling the American people in a nation where we have freedom of the press, why the courts intervened and said, why this is a national security clearance, a secret. We can't let the American people know, but I will tell you, William, that we transferred the technology to build those nuclear weapons to Pakistan for a reason. What possible reason would there be to transfer the technology to Pakistan and allow them to build them and help them build the nuclear weapons unless we were creating the best nuclear-armed enemy money could buy? Go right ahead.
That makes perfect sense. And one of the things I find really bizarre about the idea that as soon as Iran would acquire nuclear weapons capability or a specific capacity to develop nuclear weapons, the first thing they'd do would be to turn over this cherished and this cherished ability, which was obtained through such difficulty, over to people they don't fully control. And the idea is that they would be as irresponsible as Washington has been in allowing the proliferation of nuclear weapons or quietly abetting the proliferation of nuclear weapons. Mayor Dagan, who's the former head of Mossad, is going to give an interview, or is given an interview that will be broadcast this Sunday on 60 Minutes, in which he talks about his assessment that while Iran obviously is interested in acquiring that capacity, he considers them to be rational actors who can be negotiated with and who can be deterred. And once again, the counter-narrative that's being urged upon us in the media right now is that Iran uniquely cannot be deterred, that they are uniquely deranged and messianic in their outlook. And quite frankly, that strikes me as something akin to what the Freudians call projection, because the rhetoric that's coming out of Washington, Tel Aviv right now partakes of that sensibility. The idea that Only through this paroxysm of cleansing violence are we likely to see the final triumph of peace and justice in the world. And that's the sort of talk and the sort of blinkered fanaticism that ends up destroying entire civilizations and millions of people for purposes that really, upon inspection, don't make a whole lot of sense. You recall that in the build-up to the war with Iraq, you actually had George Bush and the adults who were feeding him his lines, no doubt written in, you know, little words and big black letters of crayon on 3x5 index cards. He was actually expressing the idea that we were going to bring an end to evil through the application of military force. And that strikes me once again as a symptom of derangement, you know, this idea that if we kill enough people and kill enough of the right people, somehow we're going to cleanse the world of evil. Well, you know, cleanse the world of evil is a job that only one can do. You know, he has a complete and unique franchise on that function. And people who aspire to supplant him, quite frankly, are playing for the other team. That's the sort of thing that, if you read the prophetic books of the Bible as literal projections of the future, that's the sort of promise that the Antichrist will make. You know, entrust me with your power and surrender to me your free will and worship me and bow before my image and grant my every wish and peace will reign if you follow my program, which, of course, is going to involve killing a whole lot of people in a hurry. And whether you subscribe, as I do, to biblical literalism in that respect, or whether if you happen to have a properly jaundiced view of all human nature for whatever reason, people who make claims like that are simply not to be trusted. The fact that they would make claims like that impeaches their credibility. And we're hearing a lot of that kind of rhetoric again with respect to Iran, and people have such short memory spans, such short attention spans in the United States, I mean, uniquely in the United States. As you point out, Dr. Stan, we are systematically misinformed, and we seem to be incurably incurious as well. There seems to be no sense of continuity between what was being said 10 years ago about Iraq and what is being said 10 years later about Iran, or about the fact that a year ago we were hearing about Libya in exactly the same terms that the administration is discussing Syria today. It's almost as if we have undergone some kind of media-induced selective lobotomy.
Well, it's almost, sometimes I think the world's gone mad, and other times I'm convinced the world's gone mad. It's not just a matter of thinking. It's very obvious.
Anybody, alternatives, I'm afraid.
But before we go on, William, I want you to get there. Tell our listeners how they can get your material, how they can get your magazine, The Republic, and how they can get your PayPal button and help you and your family. Go right ahead.
I do appreciate that, Dr. Stan. Republic Magazine is found at republicmagazine.com, www.republicmagazine.com. I'd urge your listeners to go there right now and scroll down to the first of the news stories, the middle of the page, beneath the video feature, the column headed news. There's a story that I posted just a couple of hours ago that is an incredible story about what's going on in this tiny town called Covington, Texas. 250 people live in this town. They're being thoroughly terrorized by a police chief who is the local drug lord. And that's just one of several examples of this type of thing happening in Texas, and it's happening across the country. But this particular story is so arrestingly vile that I think your listeners would find it very interesting. RepublicMagazine.com, and if you visit Republic Magazine, look in the upper right-hand corner for the information, the place where you can search personal information to get a digital subscription. Just insert your name and primary email and click get instant access. You can get a digital subscription. Pro Libertate, the blog, is my other outlet. freedominourtime.blogspot.com is the web address. freedominourtime.blogspot.com, or Google my name, William Grigg, and Pro Libertate, and you'll get the Pro Libertate blog as the first return. At the bottom of every essay you point out, Dr. Stan, there is a PayPal button for those who have access to PayPal and are interested in donating to help keep me and my family afloat. We're enduring some really interesting upheavals right now, having to do with the nature of the housing economy and certain things that are happening. Any help we could get right now would be very much appreciated, very timely, and very urgent. But that's freedominourtime.blogspot.com for Pro Libertate, the blog. The PayPal button is located at the bottom of every essay.
Well, I think most ministries are having difficulty today, but William is certainly very, very worthy. His work is important. And if you're in a position to help him and his six children, wife, I would personally consider this a favor to Radio Liberty. He's an important part of our ministry as we reach out on a regular basis across America, indeed across the world, trying to get people to understand the true spiritual nature of the battle which we're engaged. Check his PayPal button. Well, William, we've got 3 minutes to wrap up tonight's program, and then we'll let you go.
Thank you so much. And once again, it's always...
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-Dry Guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Sometimes when you're having an important spiritual conversation with a friend or loved one, time simply runs out. Now there's a place on the World Wide Web that will help you keep your friend's interest until you can meet again face to face. I'm talking about thestoryofjesus.com. Yes, that's right, thestoryofjesus.com. It's a wonderful new website that does exactly what you think it should. It tells the story of Jesus Christ. You'll find there a completely harmonized version of the four gospel accounts. It's available for you to browse through on your computer, download and print for a permanent reference, and you can even listen to the story on your computer or download files, which will work on your portable digital player. Tell your friends. Use it yourself. That's thestoryofjesus.com. Simple as that. Thestoryofjesus.com. For many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands.
To help us, we'd love to get your help. Oh, we hope that some of you will be able to help. In addition, our good friend William Cregan, with his family of six children, as well as his wife. Certainly this evening, why we can announce that within the last 48 hours, we've come up with two brand new DVDs. One of them is Rosalind Peterson's Geoengineering. It's the finest DVD out there on geoengineering, how they're putting up the clouds in the sky, how they are doing their chemical spraying and contrails and chemtrails and rocket sprays and all of this, and well documented. We had a little difficulty getting it technically, but the PowerPoint is beautiful, the pictures are beautiful, the information is great. Geoengineering, the DVD is available by calling 1-800-544-8927. It's the talk that Rosalind gave at our conference last September and is must-watching for anybody who wants to know what's going on. And then, of course, just today, why the DVD, my interview with Norman Dodd. It's called The Deadly Deception. The Deadly Deception. It's the story of the great tax-exempt foundations, Rockefeller, Ford, and Carnegie, and how they've been financing communism and wars for the last almost a century, how this group of very powerful organizations are able to influence our society and so transform America that one day we can all live together in this one big, happy world dictatorship. Now, of course, you will have to endure my commentary. And then, of course, you will hear my interview with Norman Dodd, the director of research for the Reese Committee, tell his unbelievable story of what happened during that period back in 1953 and 1954 when Congress was allowed to investigate the tax-exempt foundations. Actually, I sent the original script of what happened. We did the interview in 1980. Ted Griffin, he actually went down there with the film crew and filmed after I had had a film crew and interviewed Norman Dodd. But I'll have to admit, I think my interview is better than his. That's up to you to decide. We hope you'll get our DVD, but you will have my commentary. Ed did a wonderful job, and I appreciate so much his getting the information out. It was important this information was out before, but this is the original interview with Norman Dodd when he was somewhat younger, and you'll find it fascinating. As we contemplate these people of great wealth who've been financing the move for socialism for the better part of a century, why would people of great wealth want communism and socialism? Why? Because of communism, socialism, is a sincere, benevolent, idealistic theory, but it's only a theory. Somebody's got to be in charge. How would you ever get the people of wealth in charge? Why, you'd have socialism. Somebody has to be in charge, and this is the way of circumventing the Constitution. Socialism is the antithesis of our Constitution, and we've adopted the basic tenets here in the United States. The Dangerous Deception, my interview with Norman Dodd, is available. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Our new DVD, Geoengineering with Rosalind Peterson, is available. And then, of course, if you're in a position to help Radio Liberty, we could certainly use your help at this time. We've had some setbacks, so if you can help us, our number is 1-800-544-8927, and our webpage is radioliberty.com. We ask you to pray for America, to pray for revival, for Alex, for Joyce, for Congressman Ron Paul, but please pray for Radio Liberty, our provision, and our protection.
Grateful.